going to get this right. Guys, good morning. We have John Ganed. He's going to do digital natives from birth, understanding generational alpha. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Glad you're here. Yeah. So I get to be your speaker for this. Now, Gen Alpha is a category that is new. The newest generation. Now, I would say you're going down from 16 or 14 and younger when you talk about Gen Alpha. But you know, those types of definitions can be a little bit, gray. But we know that they are a different category. And so we're going to get to talk about that today. And I'm excited to get into it with you. So how many knew about Gen Alpha coming in this, like what that really meant? Or you just kind of, okay, you can embarrass yourself. Okay, there's only a few that didn't, and that's okay. Yeah. So we're not just talking about a younger version of Gen Z. So Gen Z is that older category. Now they're mostly in college, and they're kind of moving off into even the 20s, you know? So Gen Z is a category we hear a lot about, an exciting revival in colleges and the young adults, and in this category would be in the Gen Z age range. So now we really have to think distinctively, because when the folks in our churches talk about the Gen Z revival, we want to make sure we think that we have a different category that we need to focus on. Because how many know we need to be, cutting edge in ministry? Because we can't just assume, especially if we assume that everything's great and exciting, when there's some things we need to kind of think about and work on. So that's why you're here, because you're trying to be those cutting edge thinkers and try to make things very specific for the kids that are coming up. Because we know that the power of God needs to be declared to every new generation, right? So we got to hear that verse resonate in our heart. The power of God needs to be declared. Psalm 71, to every new generation. And we believe that. That's not a command. That's just what we're all about. We're about that every generation knows the power of God. And how many know that our kids can discern the power of God? Yes. So if we aren't speaking the message, they aren't getting the message. Yeah. We got to be able to speak it in their language. So it's an easy mistake to make, to think of Gen Z and Gen Alpha as kind of blurring together, but we're trying to be cutting edge. And we can look at Gen Alpha and we can think this, that they're more online, they're more digital, they're more distracted. That's what they are. They must be the more generation. But that's kind of going to miss something. It's going to miss something a bit deeper. So what we're dealing with Gen Alpha is not just that they're, by our standards, more distracted or into their devices. They're actually in a technology shift. And we know that environments are increasingly digitized, right? We understand that before there wasn't a digital world. I mean, do you remember the advertisements? I'm kind of old enough to think of advertisements when I'll name them, Apple Incorporated was like, this is for your digital life. And you're like, my digital life? I didn't know I had a digital life. I think I need all kinds of things for my digital life. Well, Gen Z use these digital devices as tools. Gen Alpha is living in them. They are in a completely environmental change from Gen Z, in the sense of it's a formation shift that we need to pay attention to. They're living inside of it. They weren't introduced to it. They live in it. They were shaped inside it, and they will be shaped inside it. Even if you're thinking, oh man, I'm never going to let kids get that device that is on their heads and, you know, walk around with those crazy glasses. I mean, they're so, you know, pretentious. They've got glasses and goggles. Is that the future? I mean, we watched, you know, all the future looking movies growing up, and we thought, that's ridiculous. Is that really gonna happen? And here it is. I feel like I'm in the future. Everyone say I'm in the future. Yeah, we're in the future. We're here. So Gen Z remembers a world that was changing. Gen Alpha doesn't remember that world. Gen Z learned technology. Gen Alpha was born into it. You know, I have kids that are all 14 and younger in my house, my wife and I, and we weren't like trying to get them on the iPad as soon as they, you know, came up out of diapers. We didn't want to do that, and we didn't, but eventually they got their hands on the devices. And now my son is wearing the Meta Horizon around the house and just miming to whatever's happening in a digital world that I don't know, but he does put it on the screen. He does cast it to the screen sometime, and I'm scared when I look at it. I'm like, can you, you know, we do have to watch what's going on out there. And I know some of you are worried for me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, that you're worried for our household. So this isn't just something we're noticing as parents, and I know you are noticing it. This is something that's being studied, of course. The great books on Gen Alpha are still just coming out. In fact, one of the great thinkers in the church world is named Shane Pruitt. Great youth ministry mind, and got to connect with him one time. He's putting out a Gen Alpha book in about a month. So this is really fresh. But One Hope is a great organization that does a lot of research, and they've been looking at tens of thousands of young people, not just in America, but worldwide, and they are seeing, just as you would expect, most Gen Alpha age kids are interacting with digital content for multiple hours a day before they even hit their teen years. So this is different than previous generations. And so for many of them, it's not just a tool, it's an environment. They're being shaped inside it. It's also, when you think about an environment, you know, you go into a room, you expect the walls are there, the ceiling's there, and there's going to be furniture. When they get into their environment, it's assumed all these things are going to be there. So they're not questioning their environment. They're expecting an environment where they can live inside it. They're expecting to be able to think about things in that environment. Not, they know it's not real, but they know that it's there. And they know they can interact with it. They know things can be purchased in that environment, and they can have real conversations with people. Not sure the quality of conversations they're having, but they can have those conversations. And how many people remember when one generation, maybe you're in this generation, the microwave came out? I mean, that goes back, but it was like, I wasn't in that generation, but I certainly heard the stories. Now I can cook. It's crazy. In 5 minutes, I've got what I need. Okay, so that's immediacy. That's something that they're finding Gen Alpha in this environment they go to. And everything's interactive, and everything can be engaged with, and everything is responsive, and everything responds to you. And even with AI, it actually seems like it's talking to you. It kind of has some intelligence to it. And then when real life doesn't move that way, it's slow. It's frustrating. It's awkward. That's what people got when they went from microwave to actual cooking. You know, it's like, man, this is taking forever, right? It's not, now let's think about it. It's not because there's something wrong with this generation. It's because something has formed them, right? We just have to realize this is kind of where they're being formed, and that matters. It's not wrong, it's different. And, you know, you may have an opinion, I have an opinion about the way things are going, but this is how they're being formed, and we need to recognize it's going to shape expectations for that for the Gen Alpha category person. It's going to shape our expectations. Yeah.
Are we going to allow this, or are we
going to
set boundaries?
As far as the use, I think that's a good question. But whether we like it or not, the reality is that our kids are being formed in that vision of society. I mean, the tools they use, the environments, unless they completely pull themselves away, which is a whole category of life that most people would think we aren't generally going to be able to do that entirely, you know, to pull yourself out. It's almost in the same way of, well, I'm going to not use computers. You probably wouldn't say, well, for me, I'm not going to use computers, and think that you could completely be viably interactive in the world. It can be done, but there's going to be a gap eventually where you're going to experience that's not viable. You know, so this is something that's their thing, which is just a whole, it's hard for me to imagine, but that this is their world. So let me say this carefully. This is going to shape attention. This is going to shape relationships. This is going to shape their learning. This is going to shape their engagement. This is going to shape their education. This is going to shape all these things. And so we're trying to figure, how do we get inside or be not necessarily inside? We have that question right now we're going to talk about in this session. So before we're done here, we'll get into that. Because they're being shaped inside these digital environments. This is their world. That's not my world. It's their world. And they're not being formed into disciples by them. I think we can acknowledge that. They're not better following Jesus because they're involved in these kind of environments. And let's also recognize that they are being formed. They are being shaped. And so formation is always happening, but it doesn't become discipleship everywhere. Because discipleship, it becomes real when it's lived. When it is lived in the real world. The good news is the Gen Alpha kids, they know there's a real world and they know there's a virtual world. Lord, may it not be that those merge someday, or I don't even know what to do with that. God, use it for your glory. But some of you are like, what did he just say? That's okay, just leave it there, okay? I'm talking science fiction, it's almost like. But they can see there's two. And so, you know, the other day, my kids, they hit me up all the time with digital asks, okay? I get the text. If you're a parent, maybe you're getting the app approvals all day long. My kids will pick up the phone and FaceTime me while I'm doing whatever. So you know, you don't want to, like, ignore your children, you know? You let them interrupt you. But if you could be on a call and you think, this could be serious, right? Everything's serious. And here's a FaceTime in the middle of nowhere. Hi, how's it going? Okay, cool. What did you need? Dad, can you approve the app that I really want to get on my phone? You know, that's the kind of interruptions I'm getting. Now I can say, hey, could we categorize these interruptions? Yeah, and I know you are feeling bad for me. That's fine, whatever. But they have zero awareness of where I am, and I also want to be interrupted. But, you know, these worlds are all merging, and then we're all, you know, converging in this digital space when there's real life to worry about. Do you know what I'm saying? We all have real life. And so whether it can wait or not is not on my son's agenda. Okay, he needs the approval. Now, everything's immediate. Now, we could call that impatience. Wow, they're just impatient. But you know better. In this context, it's not impatience. They're being formed in a world where these things kind of are normal. I mean, this is normal. Immediate access is normal. Response feels normal. And you know, when you try to log into your bank or whatever online, you expect it's going to happen. Well, they're just taking that another step forward. When they digitally contact their parents, they expect they're going to pop up right in front of them, and they're going to be able to ask them the question right now. They're going to be there virtually. You know, this is the mindset, okay? So we're just trying to dig into this a little bit so you really can picture what this is. And it's not just behavior, it's formation. And so the discipleship is happening in that environment, not the following Jesus discipleship, that just trying to, being formed is happening, and it's discipling their instincts about immediacy in life and how they can act. Okay, so, you know, my son's interacting, he's moving in his AR world, and I remember, like, getting the Wii, and the Wii was, like, a lot of work, and I'm like, okay, that was cool, but I don't really want to play with it anymore. It's kind of getting on my nerves. But he doesn't have any problem standing in the room on this device for hours. All right, we can go on and on, but he doesn't mind the interaction, and I gotta say, that's probably exhausting for him.
The only action he gets.
Yeah, I know, right? He has actually getting some physical, you know, I don't know what his Apple Watch says. Just kidding. He doesn't have that yet. But yeah, how many steps is he getting in our living room? But here's what I noticed, and here's where we're going. He's being trained to participate. He's being trained. We have a generation that is being trained to participate digitally, and we have to ask the question, Are they being trained to participate spiritually? Where are they getting the spiritual participation training? And then we have to ask, who's doing that training? Does that mean I have to go into a virtual environment? I don't think that's this generation. I think the research and kind of where we're at is, you know, we don't need my special version of me in the digital environment to interact with them, because these guys still see real. They still feel real. And so we just have to be there, and we're going to talk about being there. But this is what we have. They're overexposed, okay? They're not, you know, distracted is just too broad a category. Overexposed, overstimulated, and under-participating. You know, Gen Z was collaborative and jumped in with creativity, and they're doing things together in community. This is where we're at with these guys. We think they're going to be a little more on the under-participating side because they're so stimulated and so in a digital world. And so how do we read this? We read them as they're distracted, shallow, disengaged, but I think that's off. They're overexposed, overstimulated, and under-participating. And we can think they don't care, but they do care. We can think they're disengaged from life, but they're not. They're disengaged from what we see. But they're not disengaged. They haven't said to life, who cares about real life? They just have this other part to them that they're engaging in. They're not just stepping into anything that demands something from them. Most of what they experience requires nothing of them, right? Scrolling, watching. This stuff doesn't require anything. They can move on. But over time, they get trained. They get trained to observe and not participate. So they're getting trained to digitally do, you know, games and so on. But because of the nature of the digital world, you can just be an observer and you're getting what you want. You can consume but not participate. And studies show there's less face-to-face interaction. There's less unstructured time, less real-world engagement. This is from Barna. This is from One Hope. These are folks who are doing Christian kind of category research on this generation. And there's a tension. And here's the tension. They have more content. They've got more preachers. They got more wonderful, incredible, thoughtful, right to the point messages that they can get. But they're the least information. So they've got all the content, but the formation isn't keeping up with that. So in other words, you can have all the content but not be formed. Barna shows access to Christian content is higher than ever, but deep, resilient faith is not increasing at the same rate. So we have more input without more transformation, because content does not equal formation. Let me ask you, does this show up in the lives of your students? Anybody? People? Okay. Okay, we'll move quick because I know we got to move here. So, teaching matters. The gospel matters. Scripture matters. We know that. We're not trying to say anything different, but teaching alone does not produce formation. Because formation doesn't happen only when truth is heard. Formation happens with the addition of participation, when it's practiced, when it's lived, when it's obeyed, when it's risked, when risk happens, when it's costly. And so we have to realize that we could solve this gap, this participation gap, thinking we need more content. And what might that look like? We just need more AR materials and VR materials, stuff that happens in their world. And let me tell you that that's not what research is saying. They need more participation. And you know what? It's slower and messier, and we got to figure out how we do that. And so that's the challenge, but it is more relational. And we know what Jesus did to make disciples. It's relational. It's relational. Think, well, let's be relational in their 3D world. Well, pull back from that, because we need to meet them in the real world and figure out how to do that. So Again, no boredom, no margin. This is their life. No boredom, no margin, and no space to make sense of life. Where do you do that? Where can they do that? Not in their interactive, overstimulated world. We used to think that boredom was the problem in life, right? Boredom, though, gives you reflection. It gives you imagination. Boredom gives you spur-of-the-moment conversations with people, right? Now, no boredom, no margin. And if nothing actually slows down, nothing actually sinks into someone's life. If things are always stimulus, input, switching digital, physical, all the time, very exhausting. Some of you know, Zoom calls, in and out, oh my gosh, exhausting. Traveling between environments, exhausting. When there's no margin, there's no space to make sense of life. And if no one helps them make sense of their life, they will interpret their life on their own. Gotta be there with them. Okay, so have you heard the phrase touch grass? Many of us know, touch grass, all right. Some of you are like, touch grass? Okay, we won't go there, but touch grass, touch grass. It means get back to real life. So it became a slogan, kind of a gamer thing. If you're a video gamer, it's like, wow, that person's lost it. They should just go touch grass for a little while. You know, go outside, okay? Touch grass. And if it's in Syracuse, touch snow. That's what we say up there. Touch snow. So touch grass. Step into real moments. I hope we never fully move online. I really do. Okay, I don't even know what that means to be living online. And some of you are just like, please, we don't have to go to generation beta or whatever that is, okay? But this generation knows real moments, and they do want those real moments, and we can meet them there in those real moments. That means they're going to eventually have real conversations eye to eye. You know, maybe Gen Z learned that, they passed that down to Gen Alpha, that we really need eye to eye interaction in life. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that Zoom is all there is, and so on. Conversations, conflict, decisions, awkwardness, pain. These are moments that will come with any physical God's creation that is after his image is going to experience these things. So we know that those kids aren't thinking, hey, this is the discipleship moment for me. I'm touching real world here. This is discipleship. No, they're just living. But if no one's there when they're just living, those moments are going to form them as they are, right? But if we can step into those moments, if someone is there, those moments become discipleship. Discipleship is helping somebody follow Jesus in every area of their life. So we're going to be there in that moment, and that's the difference. It's presence. It's presence. Speaking of the snow, after the snow melted this year, my son, who's 12, actually asked me to go out back and throw the football. I was like, wow, because, you know, he's on the device all day, and he's like, can I throw a football? Okay, that really touched me. I'm serious. And here's what's crazy, and I swear I did not set this up, I promise. My wife heard from him later. She said, he said to her, man, the backyard is way better than electronics. The backyard is better than, I promise it, he said it. Here's the thing. Gen Alpha is telling us something. They live digitally, but they still long for what's real. They want something real. They want it. Have you seen a kid come alive in real life, like in this category, not just in a room, but in real life? When have you seen a student in your ministry come alive to real life? Because they are in the digital space a lot, but keep in mind, they can come alive. And here's the shift. We need to be there when they do. We need to be there when they touch grass, because that's where formation becomes real. I want to go to scripture a little bit here. Skip this, but we be there when they touch grass. Formation becomes real through participation and is shaped through interpretation. I'm going to give you one handout before you go that'll cover some of this. So I'm going to move a little bit. Sent before ready, and here's where I want to just focus here. Luke 10, Jesus gets together the 72, and he sends them out to announce that the kingdom is near. And they go out two by two and they do their mission work. A mission is like bringing discipleship to where there's places lacking discipleship. That's the mission's the engine of discipleship. You can think of it that way. So he's sending them on mission. So he's sending them out, and this is exactly how Jesus formed people. He sends them out. They're maybe they heard enough truth. Are they really? Let's see. Because they go out and they talk to people, and they're like, wow, the demons, they responded to us. We had some authority. And he's like, yeah. He said this. He said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Right? So he's interpreting what they just experienced. Participation. He interpreted it. And guess what? They're being discipled through participation. They weren't ready. They were sent, and that's what makes them ready. You know, our kids in this category are not going to have these opportunities unless we bring them to them. And this is not about replacing the gospel with activity. It's not making them more doers, because you're just going to get doers if you do that. We want to get them to go, experience, come back, interpret what happened, and then go again. That is part of it. So with our Gen Alphas, hey, you went ahead and you had a moment of prayer for somebody at school. How did that go? Oh, man, it was so awkward. Well, guess what? Jesus has already covered you. You weren't there defending Jesus. You already had that covering. So there's nothing that needs to get to your heart, right? Breastplate of righteousness right there, right? You're covered. You've been sent and you're covered. Well, let's say it goes huge. It's amazing. Say, well, that's God. Isn't that amazing? The demons even submitted to you? That's God. That's who Jesus is. And then it's another moment of discipleship. And I think we have to realize, you know, this is their formation. Their identity is never on the line because their identity is in Christ. But we're watching them embrace the identity of Christ in their own life, right? Who God is, what he's done, and who they're becoming in Jesus. We're walking with them. We have to be there in those moments even more so, because we could stack up our youth groups and our ministries with lots more teaching and lots more small groups and lots more gospel training, but if they're not participating, especially Gen Alpha, they won't mature. They won't be formed. They won't be formed because they won't actually be able to go out and experience real life and come back and say, this was Jesus showing up in my real life. Does that make sense? This is something where they're lacking right now. They're going to be less participatory because it's the exhausting nature of this life category called Gen Alpha. But we got to walk with them. Participation, interpretation, formation. They won't be formed by what they consume. They'll be formed by how they follow Jesus in real life and how their life is interpreted through the gospel. That's what will form them. I've got one handout. We'll get to you right here. This is a little acrostic on touch grass, okay? So we're going to get this out to you. Grab this before you go. There's a QR. You can get some more info. So Gen Alpha is not just Gen Z with more screens, okay? Gen Alpha, we need to step in and be there when they touch grass and help them follow Jesus in real life. And this is how we're going to disciple this next generation, this newest generation, all right? Thank you for your time. Yeah. Real life.
Can you go back to that other screen, the one before this one?
Hey, I appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.
I'm in confusion.
All right, awesome, awesome.
Well, anybody else? Did we get everybody?
Is Jesus there?
You got one?
Yeah, cool.
I'm like,
did you get one of these?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. He's a youth pastor there. Okay, yeah. I'm a youth team. Okay, cool.
I feel like I do more going out.
then.
What are you guys doing next?
Okay, not so much teaching, but I am teaching right now, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
The guy you said before.
Shane Pruitt.
The book. Shane
Pruitt.
Pruitt. Okay.
Yep. And actually, when you go here, you'll get a whole list of resources on that with that QR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. Shane Pruitt, great guy. He's the head of youth ministries in his denomination. Great guy. Yeah, and Blair, thanks for coming.
Oh,
thank you. John, yeah.
Hi, John, I'm Brenda. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Brenda, nice to meet you. Yeah.
I'm a grandmother and a teacher for 2 to 6 year olds.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
In church.
In church,
in
okay, yeah.
Preschool class.
Preschool,
and
yeah.
Games and sports probably would be a good way to get them out of themselves, right?
They're literally, yeah,
yeah.
Participating. And of
yeah.
course, you know,
I just
want to also.
Get bag.
Oh,
red bag.
There you go. Can I grab it for you?
Yes, thank you so much.
So, Brenda, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you're getting them active, you know, there's obviously the church context, right?
Uh-huh.
And then how do you break it out of the walls a bit and say, hey, how do you take this into your communities and your home? And what happened when you talked to so-and-so about sports and then you invited
yes.
them here?
Yes.
Have those interactive, because sometimes the church can be like another place that isn't the real world.
Because it's sheltered and all that, and it's nice environment. You go to school and it's really hard.
Yeah.
But anyways, some of my kids do the soccer and stuff like that. Some of them in class.
Yeah,
they're into the soccer. But sometimes now there's Christian groups for the sports.
Yes, of course.
Now,
yeah.
which is nice because sports are getting into Sundays so much. In my town.
That's right. No, it's true. It's true.
So they're
it's
having
true.
A lot more spiritual. And one woman in a cookie thing, she told me about that. I have to talk to her more about it, where I live in Orange County.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's another raid. And she said people get saved, and that's in the older group.
Okay.
But, so,
like older teens that are doing sports.
Yeah,
doing
they're into the sport so much.
Yeah. But, well, sports is a tool, right?
It's but it also way. Breaks this mold a little bit more so, too.
Yeah, because we do think classes, but we need to kind of get it to where they're.
Yeah.
They need that.
So,
just,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All right, you bet, Brenda. Nice. Thanks for coming up.
What's going on?
All right. Look at everything right
there.
Don't leave that.
Yeah.
Hey.
It is. Thanks for that too. Appreciate it. You good? Good to see you, bro.
Hey.
Good seeing you.
Yeah, everything good?
Yeah, everything's good, man. How's convention and everything?
She just wants to go get a snack.
I think you're, okay. I thought you were divide and conquer.
No, not today.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
all
today.
Right.
See you,
brother. Yeah.
It was cold there, right?
Ooh.
I know.
Guys,
it was freezing.
I'm over
here anymore.
Oh, we're doing that.
What's up, brother?
Oh my God, yeah. The Holy Spirit took for me all day. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
so much. I'm so happy to Jesus.
I'm not for me, right?
How's the family, Mark?
Good. My wife's actually in PA this weekend. Her grandmother got put on hospice care this week, so she wanted to go be out there with the family. Things considered, boys are growing big, and
it happens so fast, doesn't it?
It's like, slow down.
My oldest, he knows that she's heads to college in August.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Three, right?
Yeah, I have to get snackies. Two for you, two for me.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we're doing the time is here.